بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن هو قانت آناء الليل ساجدا وقائما يحذر الآخرة ويرجو رحمة ربه قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يموتن أحدكم إلا وهو يحسن الظن بالله عز وجل أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable elders and friends in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created man very feeble and weak. The place that we find ourselves in at present, which we call dunya, a passing and a fleeting life. In this life, there are ups and downs. At times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favors and mercies are abound upon us. It's a time of shukr, being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His innumerable favors and bounties. And sometimes there are challenges, and sometimes there are problems, masa'ib, difficulties that come our way, for which we have to persevere, be patient, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the end will reward us most definitely for our patience. And there is the old adage as it goes, that there is light at the end of the tunnel, that irrespective of the situation we find ourselves, at the end is light. Sometimes it comes in the form of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieving us of our difficulties and problems, the acceptance of our dua in reality. And sometimes it is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the reward is stored for us in akhirah. So the time at present which we find ourselves, when there is lot of negativity being passed around, lot of negative thoughts, and many people are seeing the other side of life. And sometimes in our own personal lives, to whatever level, degree, scale, but there is sometimes that there's a down in life. We've been challenged, we've been tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that al-iman bayna al-khawfi wal-raja, that Iman is underpinned, Iman is between khawf and raja. That there has to be a balance in our Iman. That there shouldn't be overpowering hope, and there shouldn't be too much and a dominant khawf and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There has to be a balance. For which Umar radiallahu anhu beautifully said, he said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to announce that there is only one person to enter Jannah today, from all the creation, only one, Umar radiallahu anhu said, such was my hope in Allah, I would say, I'm that person. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to announce to His creation, there's only one to enter Jahannam, such is my fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would feel that it is me that's going to Jahannam. So Iman is bayn al-khawfi wal-raja, between khawf and between raja, fear and hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we're going through difficulties, challenges, especially for the elders, those that are elderly in age, those of us that for whatever reason we're sitting on chairs, we cannot come to the masjid at certain hours of the night, difficulty in coming for taraweeh, salah, for whatever sickness Allah has challenged and tested us with, certain performances, acts, rituals become difficult for us. The heart is yearning to be there for Umrah, but you can't go. You know it's going to be difficult and a mammoth task for you to find yourself on the aeroplane, or whatever sickness it may be. That's the time to be driven with lot of hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Abdul Hamid Saab, our principal, used to explain, he says, every one of us has to work towards our retirement plan. Every one of us, we need to work towards our retirement plan. What do you mean retirement plan? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so beautifully said, إِذَا مَرِضَ الْعَبْدُ أَوْ سَافَرْ كُتِبَ لَهُ مِثْلُ مَا كَانَ يَعْمَلْ مُقِيمًا صَحِيحًا. Subhanallah, what beautiful words. Person comes out from the operation theater and he cannot stand and perform his salah. And he's not feeling right even to sit in that bed and perform his salah. Maybe you went for a bypass and you just cannot stand and perform Taraweeh salah. Or your knees are giving up and you can't stand for Taraweeh salah. Or whatever difficulty you find yourselves in. Sometimes you overcome by sleep and you want to complete the 1,000 durood sharif for the Friday. But you just cannot. You're overpowered by sleep. You can't control it also. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا مَرِضَ الْعَبْدُ أَوْ سَافَرْ. That the moment a person becomes a musafir, and he cannot do the normal activities and ma'amulat he used to do. He's a traveler. He would normally come very early for the Jummah salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a ma'amul and a practice of ours that we come early for the Jummah salah. Or sometimes a person becomes sick. He used to read a lot of Quran, but he's sick. And he's lost his eyesight, or it's difficult for him to even see. He has to use a magnifying glass. Sometimes old age, you can't even read with magnifying glass. You put the earphones and you listen and make tilawa by listening to the kalam-e-pak. So Nabi Sam so beautifully said, when you get sick, O my ummah, O my ummati, you get sick or you're traveling. كُتِبَ لَهُ, you will get the reward you used to do when you were healthy and back at home. Which means there has to be a habit. If there was a habit when a person is young and he's got health and he reads his 1,000 durood sharif, when he gets old and he cannot read, he gets the reward without even reading. On a normal schedule, you'll wake up for tahajjud. You'll come early for the Fajr Salah and you will read all your ma'amulat. You're a musafir, you cannot now. Very common, you meet old people and the only cry they have is, Mawlana, so much it's paining, I just can't open Quran Sharif and read. I'm feeling it difficult. The difficulty is being unable to perform some ibadat. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, what you used to do when you were healthy, you'll get credited. We're not even doing it now. Now is the time, retirement. Alhamdulillah, you did it. You'll get the reward. The same reward as if you did it. So this is being driven by hope, especially for the older people. Umar radiallahu anhu, he was the second Khalifa of Islam. Umar radiallahu anhu was known as Amirul Mu'mineen. Umar radiallahu anhu, there's so many accolades and stripes to the name of Umar radiallahu anhu, Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu. That he was known to be that warrior, that no person, any person who heard his name would get the shivers. Allah had blessed, meaning we're talking about this personality, Umar radiallahu anhu, but he is the one intent on assassinating Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how does the tides turn? That he is the one intending to assassinate and kill Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Eventually becomes Khalifatul Muslimin. He becomes Amirul Mu'mineen. He becomes the second righteous Khalifa. Nabi Sam says that amongst the 10 people in Jannah, Umar fil Jannah. He's also in Jannah. Amongst the Ashara Mubashara. When still he was a kafir, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam picked up his hands and made dua in Makkah Mukarrama. When Umar radiallahu anhu was unleashing his torture and torment against the Muslims and the weak amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. At that time, Nabi Sam picked up his hands. He's still a kafir. Nabi Sam making dua. Allahumma a'izzal Islam bi Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umay Allah, give strength to Islam with the Umar radiallahu anhu. with Umar. Ya Allah, make him a Muslim. A'izzal Islam. Bi Umar. Ya Allah, make him a Muslim. And that dua comes to fruition. And he becomes a Sahabi. And not just a Sahabi. He becomes the second rightful Khalifa in Islam. What was it? The dua of Umar, of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says his mother was a non-Muslim. She was a mushrika. Very often he would come and invite her to the deen of Islam. Openly, blatantly, she would refuse. She didn't want to become a Muslim and entertain even the da'wah of her son. And she would talk bad things about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the deen of Islam. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu comes and he tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make dua for my ummah, for my mother. Make dua for my mother. I wanted to become a Muslimah. So Nabi sallam immediately picks up his dua, his hands, and he makes dua. Allahumma hdi umma Abi Huraira. Oh my Allah, guide the mother of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. When Nabi sallam is making this dua, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, Ameen, and he rushes home. Such was that yaqeen and hope in the acceptance of this dua, that he rushes home. When he rushes home, the door is locked. And he can hear that water is trickling. And his mother realizes that the son is at the door. So the mother says, I'm coming in a moment. So he waits patiently outside. She opens the door. She's very clean, correctly attired. And she opens the door and she says to her son, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, I had yaqeen. When Nabi Sam picked up his hands, du'as are accepted. I knew at this moment, when Nabi Sam picked up his hands, that the du'a is accepted. And he made the du'a. So when he saw that the du'a of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is accepted, he rushes back. He says, Ya Rasulullah, my mother became a Muslimah. She's a Muslim. So he capitalized on the opportunity. What does he say? He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make dua that me and my mother become beloved to the creation and the creation become beloved to us. Nabi Sam picks up his hands. Allahumma habib ubaidaka hadha wa ummah ila ibadika al-mu'mineen wa habib ilayhim al-mu'mineen. Oh my Allah, make him and his mother beloved to the ummah and make the ummah beloved to him. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, any person who embraced the deen of Islam from that day loved me. Every person, anyone who embraced the deen, he loved me. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, how often don't we quote his name? And we know him to be the Shaykhul Hadith, that sahabi who quoted and narrated the most number of ahadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he never lost hope. He never said, my mother is not Muslim now. Whatever happens, happens. Muqaddar? No. It means we have to do whatever is within our capacity and within our means. And then whatever happens, it was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we cannot sit back and say, whatever is going to happen is still going to happen. No. No person sits at home and say, I'm not going to study for matric. Whatever happens, happens. No businessman sits at home and say, if Allah wants to bless me, He'll bless me. We make an effort, whatever is destined is still to come. Whatever is allotted from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about qawmu tubba' wa ashabul ayka wa qawmu tubba', the nation of tubba'. Another topic for those brothers that have just joined us. We are talking about al-iman bayn al-khawf wal-raja. That Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, iman is between fear and hope. Our iman has to be in a balance. Not too much of fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in balance. And not too much of hope that whatever is, we hope the best and we don't even practice anything. No. Between the two. So, tubba, he was the king, mentioned in the Quran Sharif, subhanallah. So Tuba was a pious person according to quite a few of the commentators of Quran Sharif. He was a pious king from Yemen. Traveling, comes to Makkah Mukarrama, comes to Medina Tayyiba, still known as Yathrib. When he comes to Medina Tayyiba, then he sees that there are a lot of people, about 400 scholars, that are dedicated to staying in Medina Munawwara. Come what may, hailstones, sunshine, they're not leaving the city. So he finds out what's happening. Why these people don't want to leave the city of Yathrib? So he says, according to our scriptures, the final Nabi will come and settle in this town. He says, okay, that's interesting. How many of you? 400. So for the 400 scholars, he built 400 homes. He says, in honor of you waiting for the final Nabi, 400 homes. And he gave every one of them a retirement package of gold coins. He says, no need to work. All you do is wait for the final Nabi. And he built one more house. And he says, this house I make dua to Allah that the final Nabi eventually stays in this house. So that was his intention, but he had hope. Yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He built the house and he wrote a letter from himself to Ba' to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I have the opportunity of serving you, I would serve you. If I meet your time, I'll be at your feet. So he writes this letter that he's a Muslim, believes in Nabi Sam, and he tells the people who he gives this letter to, that this letter is addressed to the final Nabi of all times. So what do we do with it? If you meet him, you hand it over. And if you pass away, give it to the next generation. And the next generation, they say generations passed. That house was inherited by Sayyiduna Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, famous we know, he comes to Medina Tayyiba for a few days, he stays at the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. Yet when was that house built? Centuries ago. By who? By Tubba. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the house and he's staying, then one sahabi comes and he says that, this is the letter through the generations was addressed for you. He picks up the letter and the letter is from Tubba to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now if a person has hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing is far-fetched. Nothing is difficult. Nothing is beyond us. In the time of Banu Israel, there was a butcherman who was infatuated in love, illicit desires he had for the neighbor slave girl. So he had this evil desire, but never ever found the opportunity to pounce. But that love was in his heart, incorrect, haram, illicit love for her. One day the neighbors and the owner, they did not know that this was his intention and he was in love. So they sent the slave girl one day for some work out of the town. So he saw the opportunity, she's traveling all alone. So he immediately made his intentions, his preparations, that on this journey, whatever is to happen is going to happen now. So he prepared and he's on this journey. As he comes and he advances to her, so she realizes that this is the neighbor, but how he knows, what is he doing, following my footsteps. So she could see that his intent on haram. And she asks him that, what's your intention? He says, see, I love you. And this is the only opportunity I have to pounce. He says, you love me, but I love you more than you love me. So he says, oh, okay. So that means it's a two-way road of here. We are together. So you love me, I love you. So if we have mutual love for each other, he saw that she is advancing also. So she says, no, no, no. I love you more than you love me means I love you more for yourself. I'm fearing that Allah will punish you if you advance in haram. I also love you. But my love for you is for the sake of Allah. If you do wrong, Allah is going to punish you. I can't hate you and allow Allah to punish you. I want Allah to bless you. So avoid this haram. He says, what you mean? He says, no, I really fear Allah. I'm worried Allah will punish you. I want to love you, but it's haram. So he says, yeah man, I don't even fear Allah. He turned around and he's going home. But it's the pig. It's a dark night. He's going home and he doesn't find his way. And suddenly, one of the Nabi of the time, his messenger was walking. So he sees him and he says, hey, what's happening? He says, listen, my house is very far from here. And I'm actually dying of thirst. He says, nothing difficult. I am the messenger of a Nabi of Allah. I am the Khadim and the servant and attendant of the messenger of Allah. He says, okay, so how can you help me? He says, nothing difficult. Let's both of us make dua. Allah will send the rain. You'll get water. He says, you mean it's so easy? He says, yes. So the messenger and the khadim of the Nabi tells this person, he says, you make dua. He says, listen, I've got nothing to implore Allah with, I promise you. Nothing. So he says, no. There has to be something. He says, no good deeds to my account at all. So he says, okay. I'm the khadim of the Nabi, I'll make dua. Hadith comes in Shu'abul Iman, the incident. So the khadim of the Nabi is making dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent cloud cover for them. The shade. Now he's a little bit in ease. So the person is making ameen to the dua. Then he makes dua. Ya Allah, send the rains. This man is dying of thirst. We can also get some water. Allah sends the rain. He quenches his thirst. And then that cloud cover is till the time this person parts ways. When they part ways means that the khadim of the Nabi is going in his direction and this person who was intent on haram, returning with tawbah, is going home. He sees that the cloud is over him going home. So someone comes to him from the village and says, excuse me, when you became a buzruk? He says, what you mean, buzruk? He says, Allah even sent the cloud to cover you as you're coming home. He says, I did nothing good at all. He says, there has to be a good in your, to your name. So he says, see, the only good I can remember is I just made tawbah now. And Nabi Sam says, At-ta'ibu mina dhambi kamal la dhambala. That person who has made tawbah from his ills and his past, as if there's no sin to his account. At-ta'ibu habibullah. The person who makes tawbah is the beloved of Allah. And where do we find ourselves? At the month of tawbah. When the doors of the heavens are flung open. For who? For everyone. Every one of us are feeling similar. Ya Allah, the amount of guna I did. The amount of skeletons in the closet. Ya Allah, if that is open, marriage gaya, finished. There's too many old bones in the family. There's too many skeletons. If opened, oh my Allah, what's going to happen to me? We all feel similar. But that's the month now that we find ourselves. The month of hope. The month of dua. The month of acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, very sick, maradul wafat, in the final moments of his life, his student Imam Muzani rahimahullah comes and he says, Ya Aba Abdillah, kifa asbaht? O Imam Shafi'i, how are you today? How are you this morning? You are going through some sickness. How are you today? He says, Asbahtu min ad-dunya rahila, wali ikhwani mufariqa, wali su'i amali mulaqiya, wa ila Allahi warida. He says, today, this morning, I really find myself, I'm on a journey to Allah. I'm leaving this dunya, I'm gonna part from my friends, and all I see in front of me is my bad deeds. The Imam of the time, Imam Shafi'i rahimullah is saying, I see my bad deeds in front of me. But then he starts saying, he says, لَمَّا قَسَى قَلْبِي وَضَاقَتْ مَذَاهِبِي جَعَلْتُ رَجَائِي دُونَ عَفْوِكَ سُلَّمًا. Oh my Allah, my heart is hard. My avenues and roads in front of me have become constrained. I don't see the path to you, oh my Allah. It's all very blur. I cannot see this path to you. But oh my Allah, I'm using hope in you as a ladder to reach you, oh my Allah. I have hope in you. Ta'azamani dhambi. My sins are too many, oh my Allah. If I count my sins, they are just like a mountain on top of me. But falamma qarantuhu bi'afwika rabbi, kana afuka a'zama. But when I join your forgiveness with my sins, your forgiveness supersedes my sins. Allah, I have hope in you. You're going to forgive all of my sins. I'm carrying a load of sins, but you will forgive it. And subhanallah, the final moments of Imam Shafi rahimahullah is qabil rashq, that he recited that kalima with a smile on his face. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of us, inshaAllah, the best of deaths. And the month we're finding ourselves, the doorstep of the month of Ramadan, is that month of hope. That this is the time now we hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn to Allah. Nothing is difficult. We all talk of Nizamuddin Awliya rahimahullah, great pious sage of his time. His mother, name slips the mind, but his mother, she was, when she got married, for 15 years no children. But the husband had always told her, he says, listen, Zakariya alayhi salam never had children. Rabbi la tadharni farda wa anta khayrul warithin. Let's read this dua. So for 15 years no children. On the 15th year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with who? Nizamuddin Awliya rahimahullah. Such not an ordinary son. A son who we pride ourselves with. To say that he is amongst the awliya of Islam. The awliya of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But after how long? After having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah was blind. Yet his magnum opus, no person till today can supersede him. Not even to a chapter. Not even to a chapter. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah is blind. How did you author this kitab? His mother continuously made dua to Allah. Allah, you accept the son of mine. See, Allah, you give him sight. And miraculously, one night she sees Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in the dream. And Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is telling her, قَدْ رَدَّ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ إِبْنِكِ بَصَرَهُ. Allah has restored the vision of your son. She wakes up in the morning, she sees Muhammad ibn Ismail, Imam Bukhari is running around like a normal child. Like normal. Nothing is difficult for Allah. Nothing is beyond the reach of Allah. Nothing is hard for Allah. Everything is within possibility. All we have to do is stretch our begging bowls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The month of Ramadan, the month of dua. The month of Ramadan, the month of forgiveness. The month of Ramadan is the month of hope for every one of us. Whatever be the difficulty and the situation we find ourselves in, irrespective, this is that month now to turn to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the best insha'Allah. Hamad bin Salama, rahimahullah, final point, subhanallah. Someone asked him. So he says, he mentioned, Hamad bin Salama rahimullah explained once in one of his majalis. He says, if anyone gives me a choice, and they say, see, you got a choice. Either Allah takes your hisab on the day of Qiyamah, or we can allow your parents to take your hisab. What would you choose? He says, لَخْتَرْتُ مُحَاسَبَةَ اللَّهِ. Definitely, blindly I'll choose. I'll say, Allah, quickly, Ya Allah, you take my hisab, not my parents. Why? Because my Allah is more merciful than even my parents. Most merciful than anyone on the surface of the earth. That is that most Rahim Kareem Allah that we all have. Most Rahim Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability that we enhance in the hope and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maximize on the opportunities, take part in all the programs that will be taking place in the various masajid wherever our hearts are settled and we find attachment with, and it's in this masjid also, alhamdulillah, Hazrat Mawlana Ahmad Shohan Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, will be having programs throughout the month of Ramadan. Request is for us to note, take notice of the programs and participate, inshallah. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanallah.